them.
Pervert!
Connie!
Akane Tendo Pigtailed Girl. Akane Tendo Pigtailed Girl. Akane Tendo Pig.
Programs and welcome to another episode of Fan Holes Big in Japan. I'm Justin and I'll be your host this evening. Joining me tonight are two of my fellow fan holes. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Hey, what's up? This is Derek W.C. Tachi.
Hey, it's Mike Anime Jahai. It is anime. That's probably wrong, but it's a funny pun.
On this episode, we're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to be discussing our top five anime openings. And for this, I went ahead and told the guys, you know, don't pick anything Transformers or Gundam related because we have our own separate shows for those. And we've already talked about Gundam and Transformers openings. But I think we're going to go with our honorable mentions first. And Mike, since you invented honorable mentions, why don't you go first?
I do hold the patent on honorable mentions, yeah. Anytime anyone does an honorable mention, I get like a nickel. Yeah, so that's the first opening to Vinland Saga. And I've been kind of constantly like pitching that you guys should watch that show, like eventually. Like, I don't, Justin, did you get around to starting it yet, or?
Not yet, but I know you're really into it, and you even like sat down and read the manga, so I did add it to the list, but I've not got around to it yet.
Yeah, like if I describe Vinland Saga at all, it's like a Norse, like they use a lot of Norse, well, obviously like Norse mythology and stuff, and it's basically like if Game of Thrones, like if Arya Stark was a boy and like the main character, like the one and only main character. So, like, yeah, that's probably how I'd pitch it to you guys, but...
Is it purely historical fiction, or is there some, like, fantasy elements in it?
It's historical, like, all the characters are based on historical, like, you know, actual figures, but they're, you know, there's obviously, like, a sort of, you know, superhuman, like, yeah, there's artistic license, like, where guys are picking up trees and, you know, swinging trees at people and, you know... He can, like, you know, he's a friggin' 15-year-old kid, and he can, like, take down, like, a whole, like, gaggle of armed men or whatever by himself with his knives. So, I mean, yeah, like, there is a superhuman kind of element to it. But, yeah, like, I enjoy it. I it reminded me a lot of, like, Rurouni Kenshin and, like, stuff like that. But, okay. And, like,
it looks great. I mean, yeah, I know you recommended it, and I wrote it down, but I haven't seen anything until just now, so I was like, it looks pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of the TV show Vikings a little bit.
Speaking like of the intro itself, like a friend of mine like recommended this anime to me, and the way he like sold it to me was like, here, watch like this intro, and if you don't think that looks awesome, like then you know I can't help you. Like, and I watched it, and I was like, yeah, like that's a really kick-ass intro. Like, I like the song. Oh, speaking of, the song is called Mukanjo by Survive Said the Prophet. Mukanjo means emotionless in Japanese. So yeah, like once I saw that intro, I was pretty much sold. Like, I love, you know, it's got great visuals. Like, and this was my honorable mention because it's the newest, basically, intro on my list. So it covers the first like 13 episodes of the anime, like so far. And like the second intro is okay, but it's kind of like one of those things where it's like the second intro can never live up to the first intro. So like, yeah, and like I really this is an intro I would like watch. Like, I wouldn't skip through it, basically. And I think, like, if I had a favorite part in it, it's, like, there's a part, like, towards the end where it kind of, like, It fast forwards through about 10 years of his life in a couple seconds, like a couple frames where he's like an innocent young child. And then, like, you know, cuts to him being like an emotionless assassin. Like, and then, like, you know, he kind of focuses in on his eyes. And like, that's, you know, it's a cool badass cut. So, but yeah, maybe one day we will discuss Vinland Saga in more detail.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I thought was interesting about the opening music was, I mean, it's pretty, how should I say this? It's well sung and appears to be English for like the first like 20 seconds of the opening before it switches over. So I was like, oh, that's, I was like, it doesn't sound awkward in any way. Like, it just kind of sounds like music, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of like English covers of this song, and you know, it sounds just as good in English just because, yeah, like the Japanese singer is actually singing in English for parts of it.
All right, well, if there's nothing else, Derek, why don't you give us your honorable mention?
All right, I'm gonna drop it. So yeah, that's I guess technically that's the intro and outro of Shin-Chan, the Funimation English reversion of Shin-Chan. I honestly have never seen Shin-Chan in Japanese, and that's why for me this is an honorable mention. It is a English language, you know, party, join us, you know, the kind of end credits or whatever. And I know I watched this a lot on, I think it was like, you know, back in the day, it was like, I think Adult Swim had their own like online streaming thing, you know, like where you could watch like the latest episodes of stuff. Uh-huh. And that's how I ended up watching like all the episodes of Shin-Chan in the English language, you know. And then later I went on to get like, I think either Blu-rays or DVDs or whatever it was, right? And I think for the end theme song, it's just kind of like a happy, you know, I don't know. It's like, I think when I first saw Shin-Chan, I was kind of like, what the hell is this? Like, and I didn't quite get it. And then I think I was just desperate for something that was amusing to me. And I think what drew me into it was I saw that there was a Star Wars parody episode. So I watched that. And then I was amused by that and made me feel good. And I think it was at a point in my life where I was, not in the happiest of spirits, and it cheered me up. So I kept watching the show. And then, you know, that end theme song, you know, is just, to me, it's super cheery. And again, similar to, I think, Mike's criteria, if I was watching the show and I came to the end of the episode and the end credit music was playing like it was, I didn't want to skip it. You know, like, it's just, to me, it's fun. It was fun to watch. And they infuse, you know, elements of the series into the song too. So it's almost like, you know, it's like Shin-Chan himself is doing the reggae vacation line, and you could hear Georgie doing the grand old party bit at the end and all this other stuff. Like, I just dig it. So that's why it's my honorable mention.
It's funny, like, I think I used to watch like Shin, I didn't really watch it regularly, but it would just be on like Adult Swim, I think, like when I was like right when I was going to bed some nights. So I'd like have it on in the background. And like, I remember some of my roommates at the time would be like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know, and they, if they'd hear that song, like, I'm like, it's Shin-Chan, like, you know, and they're like, no, we don't know. Like, but whatever. Like, so, but yeah, like, I mean, I'm not as big a fan of the show as you are, but I was amused by it on occasion. Yes.
I think some of my friends had the same reaction as Mike's too, because they were just like, what is this? And I kind of had to explain. I'm like, oh, it's about this little kid, and he has, you know, wacky adventures, and he says inappropriate things. And it's funny because I've actually been watching the Japanese language version here the past few weeks, and I've been having a lot of fun just watching a couple episodes every night, and it never fails. You know, sometimes you'll watch something and you're like, oh, that's funny, but you won't laugh. You'll just, you know, think it in your head, like, I swear, man, like, every episode, there's, like, several things that just make me, like, die laughing. And It's such a great show. It's so funny. So yeah, I did cry on Shin-chan. I have no memory of this opening. I know I used to watch it, and I used to watch stuff on.
It didn't really have an opening per se. That's why okay. It's also kind of an honorable mention, because it's kind of like the end credits mostly. But that beginning thing where it's like do Shin-chan, like that was basically the opening. Okay. And then that song at the end was what you would hear when they were playing the credits. And usually, if you saw it on TV, you probably didn't see the end credits because they had a bunch of advertisements over it or something like that. But if you have like the DVDs and stuff, you actually like see this kind of end credits outro song. So that's
I think it was like a really truncated version of that full it's probably like a 20 or 30 second version.
Yeah.
In fact, like all I remember is it like the party part. So it's probably like just the chorus while they were doing the credits.
All right, I guess then I will submit my honorable mention.
So Secret Brother alert. I this was also one of my picks.
So my honorable mention was the opening for Outlaw Star, and similar to what Derek was saying, I never saw this until I bought the DVDs. Like, I watched Outlaw Star on Toonami when it was on, and I thought it was great. And then I think in 2005, maybe, I found all the DVDs at a secondhand shop for super cheap, and I was like, oh my god. So I immediately bought them and like relived the whole series in like a week. And one of the things that struck me was this opening. I was like, man, this opening is great. Like, it's the song is great. It's so upbeat. The animation is really great, too. I guess, like, if I were to point out a favorite sequence, it's the sequence where, like, Melfina is spinning around with the flowers, flower petals around her. And then it cuts to, like, Twilight Suzuka, like, you know, swinging her sword. I think that's just the way the animation moves and the way it's synced with the song, like the beats of the song, I'm like, man, that's great. But, yeah, this is, you know, this came really close to being my number five, but I was like, I have a hard time making top five lists. Like, whenever I make, like, top 10 Star Trek episode list or whatever, like, I always kind of end up, like, dragging my feet and, you know, going back and forth and switching things. Like, I don't know. I just, it's hard for me to make, you know, any kind of top list and be like, oh, like, this is, you know, these are my five favorites. But, like, you know, this is my honorable mention.
It's a great show. And then the intro and that song, like you said, it's got a lot of energy. It's very dynamic and gets you into it, gets you pumped, you know, like that you're about to watch it and everything. So I mean, I think that's a good choice, and it's not anything, you know, I'm not Secret Brothers, it's not like Mike where it's on my list, but then I think also, like, just peek behind the curtain, I think I also sort of tailored my own list to pick things that I thought you guys wouldn't pick, and I think, you know, I kind of expected some people to pick certain things, and so, like, that's another caveat of my decision process, I guess, is I kind of expected certain things to get picked, and I'm not surprised that this came up, I guess, because of the excellence of the opening.
Yeah, I will echo everything you guys said. In fact, I have a vivid memory of maybe the first time ever someone brought up Outlaw Star on this podcast. And then, Derek, you immediately started going,
Yeah.
It was probably, like, the first year we were recording this podcast. And, like, I started laughing because I was like, yeah, it's, like, such a catchy, like, you know, a song that you, when you think Outlaw Star and you know that intro, you think about that intro. So,
yeah.
And, like, I've always, like, you know, back, like, you know, on Toonami and Adult Swim at that time, like, there was most people, like, I knew would say, like, oh, you know, there's Cowboy Bebop, there's Trigun, and there's Outlaw Star. Mm-hmm. And, like, honestly, like, Outlaw Star was, like, my favorite of those three, even though I really like Cowboy Bebop and Trigun. But, like, I I guess I did the you thing, Derek. I was like, but it's in, you know, even though Cowboy Bebop's in space too, like I was kind of like, but Outlaw Star's like really in space. Like they, you know, it's more in space. Yeah, it's in space. Yeah, I've always really liked Outlaw Star. I like the characters in the show. You know, I like the premise and the theme song, the opening is really cool. I agree with you, Justin. I love, you know, the bits where, you know, it's doing it shows all the girls basically, and they're really well matched to like the lyrics of the song. Yeah, I also like at the beginning when it shows like all the photographs of them and stuff. Even though it's, you know, this might be the first time you're seeing this intro, it's like, oh, like these characters have a history with each other or whatever, you know, they're all, you know, they're living all together and they've had good memories, or they will have good memories. So like, I like that.
All right. Well, if the honorable mentions are over, then Michael, give us your number five. Or whatever whatever order you decided upon. Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do. No, I'll do it.
He's like the cactus alien. He's mind controlling you. Release the intro.
That is the first opening to Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which is the second Full Metal Alchemist anime, which is more faithful to the manga. And, I liked the first Full Metal Alchemist anime, but, like, you know, when I heard that, like, oh, you know, they kind of went off script because the manga, they caught up with the manga and they had to make up their own, like, you know, story, basically. I was kind of, like, curious, and when they announced this anime, I was kind of like, oh, well, good. Well, finally, like, I can see, you know, the author's actual vision or whatever laid out. And, you know, this intro kind of highlights exactly what makes like the manga, you know, more expansive, I guess. And that's, it has so many more characters than like the first anime had, basically. Like there are so many like minor characters in the first anime that like become like really important later on, but like they don't get to that in the first anime, but they do in Brotherhood. And, you know, I just generally like the song, the visuals. Like, I like, it kind of has that Gundam Age, like, first opening, like, sort of, like, there's an underlying sadness to the song. And, like, you know, that's pretty appropriate for, like, Ed and Al's, like, backstory. So, like, yeah, like, this is one of my, you know, personal favorites.
I like this is something that I'm a little blind on. I mean, I've seen the original anime that wasn't as much based on the manga, and I think I watched a bit of this, but not, I never actually sat down and watched the whole Brotherhood anime. But the intro itself, like you said, it kind of starts off a little sweet and melancholy and everything, and then when it kind of goes into the, you know, when the song starts to ramp up, basically, like, that's when you start going into some of the more horrible things that happen, and the intro picks up and you start getting introduced to all these characters and all the sins and all that kind of stuff. So like that, I think the pace of it is really good, and it's one of those fun things where like you can kind of get a flavor of the entire show just based on that kind of quick intro. So like, that's kind of cool too, like the way you can kind of, it's like watching, you know, 50 episodes in 60 seconds, you know, type thing. So that's kind of neat.
I'm a little blind on this too. Like, I've seen Full Metal Alchemist, but I've never seen Brotherhood. I have the same problem with Full Metal Alchemist that I do with Inuyasha. I love both shows. They were always on Adult Swim, but it seemed like whenever I tuned in, it was always like one of the same, like, five.
The same five episodes you've always seen. Yeah, yep. I understand that. I get it.
So when they announced Brotherhood, they're like, oh, Brotherhood, you know, everything Max said, like, oh, it's closer to the manga and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool. And I just never sat down and watched it. Like, it's on Crunchyroll and it's in my queue. And it's been in my queue for a few years because I just keep adding stuff, but I've never sat down and watched it.
I have the Blu-rays and I still haven't cracked them all open.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I don't feel so bad. There's something in this anime that I like that I've seen in other anime openings. It's like whenever a character says the lyrics, I've seen that in several anime openings. Like there's a Bleach opening and there's like this close up of Orihime's mouth and she says change and it's like the lyrics of the song, and it does it a couple of times. It'll be like, you know, they'll be singing and it'll be like a close-up of Orihime and she'll like, her mouth will like speak the lyrics even though it's, you know, someone else singing. I've seen that in several other openings. I always thought that was a really cool thing to do, and I noticed that immediately in this. I was like, oh cool, they're doing that thing I like.
I think one of my favorite bits in this opening is, obviously, Risa Hawkeye is one of my favorite characters in this anime, and you can wonder why. Yeah, but like, you know, the brief clip of her like jumping into the air and like dual wielding her pistols or whatever is like super cool and stuff. So, but yeah, there's a lot of quick, like I said, there's a lot of quick cuts because there are a lot of characters in Full Metal Alchemist, like the manga slash Brotherhood. And, you know, this intro, like you said, Derek, it tries to give you like the flavor of like everyone basically, like who will play a major role. And this intro doesn't even have everyone who will eventually feature in this, like in the saga. So, and I also really like the use of wind in this opening, like the first shot of Ed in that field where the wind is just blowing and his like hair's like whipping around. Like, I think that's like really well animated.
Yeah. I also like the sequence where they're like magically unraveling as part of their little thing.
Yeah, that's really when the music picks up too. And the music synchronizes really well with that animation. Like that's a good, like, I guess, pivot point for the song and everything.
I also feel really bad at that point at the beginning where it's like just a kid, Ed and Al, and you see a door closing on them and it's probably like their dad leaving them, but then they both look like so sad. It also has a really well animated dog, you know, like the dog with the, you know, auto mail leg that like goes and barks at like the grandma or whatever. Like I love the way they animate that dog in the intro.
At first I thought that was a little kid sitting there and smoking and I was like, what? And I was like, oh, it's some granny.
Yeah, it's a smoking kid. There is an evil kid in that anime. And he just shoots like black
kid somewhere in some anime.
He shoots like black venom tentacles out instead of smoking.
All right, well, Derek, give us your number five or whatever designation you have for us.
Yes, my number five in chronological order is. Okay. So my love affair with Cutie Honey all began way back on the BOTOK message forums when Funkatron innocently posted a TV Nihon link or something about the live action series starting. And I checked that out and fell in love with Cutie Honey. And then after that, I was like, oh, this is an anime and it's based on a manga. And so I kind of just got into the whole universe and everything, but I kind of wanted there to be some 70s love on this show, and this is the original 1973 opening for Cutie Honey. This is, I believe, it's sung by Yoko Maekawa, and I think it's written by Kayuki Hani. No, that's the name of the song, Kayuki Hani. That's how the Japanese do it. They got a little kanji. Anyway, Maekawa Yoko sings the song, but yeah, that's the intro. It's a catchy song. I also think the reason why I went with the original opening is because it's the classic version of the song, but it seems like whenever they revisit the series, whether it's if it's in updated anime or in live action, you know, whether it's like the movie or the live action tokusatsu series, they do some kind of variation of this song. It's catchy, it's poppy, it's like one of those things that kind of gets stuck in your head. And again, I think it fits it passes the test of, you know, do I want to skip the intro to get to the next episode, or do I want to just kind of, you know, dance and, you know, kind of, you know, hum along and move back and forth and gyrate in my chair when I'm watching the thing, you know, and it's like, so it sort of passes that test. Like, I dig listening to the song and it's happening and it kind of, you know, gets me in the mood. So, I mean, that's kind of what it's all about.
Yeah, this is probably a blind spot for me, but I do know of your love for Cutie Honey, and like I've never seen that. It's infamous by this point, and I've never seen that intro before, and I thought it was really charming. Yeah, like I really liked it. Like it was very colorful, and I really liked the transitions and stuff. Like yeah. Just the way things go from one to, you know, each scene, and yeah, it flowed well, and it was catchy, and it was charming, and it was colorful, and yeah, the 70s, like, you can say that about a lot of stuff from the 70s, but that, you know, that means it exemplifies it, so.
My favorite part was all the boob grabbing.
Yep. and then again, you know, me and Justin always record Kikaida episodes, and there's, you know, Hattori Hanpei, and it's like that's the Hattori in that show, pretty much, right? Like,
yeah, a few years ago, I sat down, and I think I watched the first, like, 6 or 7 episodes of Cutie Honey, so I'm familiar with the opening, and I don't think I ever skipped it when I was watching it. I just kind of, you know, my usual excuse is, you know, I liked it, but then I just kind of, like, my attention drifted over to something else, and I just never went back to finish it. But, yeah, I like it. You know, I guess if I'm guilty of anything, it's that we've not really discussed any 70s anime on the show, and this, you know, we talked about the Digimon movie, which was your suggestion, and this was also something you threw out. So, I mean, Cutie Honey is on the list, so maybe we'll get to it one day. But I do like Cutie Honey, and I mean, I like most of Go Nagi's works, whether it's Devilman or whatever, you know. I also like the part where she's about to like lose her top, and like the little hand comes over and blocks it.
Yeah. Or like, you know, it's funny because they've got, you know, it reminds me of like the Ranma 1/2 stuff where you've got like the old pervy guy that's, you know, they're sneaking in on her in the bath and everything. I kind of like Kurosagi, like I don't know what it is, like maybe it's just me, but like I almost think she's cuter in her civilian, you know, like when she's in the bubble bath and all that kind of stuff, you know, like in the schoolgirl outfits or whatever, like that kind of stuff, like. So it's like one of those things where I'm kind of like, you know, and it's cool when, you know, she transforms and does her thing and everything. But it's like, I don't know. Anyway, it's just, you know, a lot of that stuff to me is fun. So I mostly just, you know, it's kind of like there's certainly a titillation aspect about Cutie Honey, obviously. But then there's also lots of kind of James Bondian types, you know, like there's these secret organizations and they all have henchmen and, you know, it's all about kind of intrigue and espionage and, you know, stealing motorcycles and kicking people off cliffs and, you know, so it's like that's kind of what it's about. Like, you're not supposed to really, you know, inspect it with a microscope and think of the moral implications of everything. It's just supposed to be, she's in a bubble bath, it's fun, she's riding a motorcycle, it's fun, she's having a sword fight, it's fun, you know, like that kind of stuff. So,
all right, well, I present you guys my number 5. There was ever an anime's opening that got you like super psyched up for the show that's about to come on, like it has to be You Are Shock. So my number 5 is the first Fist of the North Star opening, and several years ago when I sat down and watched the whole series, like I never ever skipped the opening because it was always so badass and it always got me in the mood to watch the next episode. It's also very 80s, and there are a lot of sequences in this I really like. I like Ken's powering up. I like when Shin's kind of just walking and he's got energy radiating off of him. I also really like when there's like this close-up of Lin and then it's like her tears are just, you know, flying off of her into like the darkness. Like, I really like that. And then, of course, the last scene where it's like this huge, like, monster guy who's probably like 4 stories tall. And then what does Ken do? He just, like, jumps up to, like, kick him in the head, and that's where it stops. I'm like, that's so badass. But what do you guys think?
Kenshiro is badass.
It's yes.
Like, I love I love Kenshiro. You know, it's funny though, because, you know, I think this is something where, you know, I didn't, you know, again, I saw like a lot of the episodes on Showtime, so I was initially introduced to the English, you know, manga dub intro, and I got into that too, you know, but then it's like watching the Japanese version, I think, when, because it's like you ran out of the manga dubbed episodes, you know, so then that's when you kind of, you know, you're like, oh, I'm looking for my fix, like, where's my fix, you know, and then you start watching the Japanese episodes and everything, and then, like you said, I mean, you don't really want to pass up the intro, like, it's fun, it's like, it kind of gets you in the mood and everything like that. It's interesting, too, though, because it's like, it is, the Fist of the North Star technically is like this wasteland dystopia kind of setting, but it's funny how, like, the music reflects Kenshiro's, like, heart and badassness. Like, it's not impacted by the surroundings. Like, it's like, you could have, like, this cool rock band, but it's, like, in the desert with nobody listening. But it doesn't fucking matter, because it's, like, the coolest fucking song. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's pretty cool.
It's funny, like, I was hoping you would pick this, Justin, because... Like, when we talked about, like, Fist of the North Star, like, and watched the movie, like, you know, a year or two ago, you said, we're saying, like, how much you love this intro, and I had never seen it. So, like, I looked it up, and I was like, oh, man, Justin was right. That is a kick-ass intro. Like, so, like, you know, I would periodically go back and watch it again. And then just recently, like, someone made, like, a Marvel, like, Infinity War Endgame version of this intro. And, like, they actually, like, you know, animated it in Flash and stuff and, like, replaced all the Fist of the North Star guys with Marvel guys. And, you know, they had You Are Shock playing. And, like, it, like, cracked, not only, like, you know, I like the song, but, like, it just cracked me up, like, all the substitutions they made in the thing. Because the bit where Ken, like, powers up and, like, loses his shirt... Like, the guy animated, like, the Scarlet Witch, like, doing that same, like, pose, but she's, like, like, you know, powering up with, like, hex power or whatever, but she looks, like, all, like, Liefeld, like, deformed and whatever. So, like, that, like...
Does her top come off?
No, but... But, like, yeah, that just kind of cracked me up. But, yeah, like, I've ever since you mentioned, like, how much you liked this song, like, I've been, like, periodically, like, rewatching this intro, like, every so often when I, like, you know, shows up on my sidebar or whatever. And, like, I definitely, like, I've never watched the series, but I definitely agree. Like, this is what do the kids say? Like, a hype-ass song, like, yeah. You know? Like,
the second opening, Tough Boy, like, it's not as good, but it's almost as good. Like, it still has that same energy, and it's still like this, you know, metal 80s song. You've got all these badass moments of, like, you know, more of Ken powering up, but then it's like you've moved forward in time to where, like, Bat and Lin are, like, in their, they're probably, like, 18 or 19 or 20. So you've got, like, you know, this, like, really nice animated scene of, like, adult Bat, like, riding on his, like, motorcycle and doing all kinds of cool ass shit, and that it's a really good opening too. But I mean, you can't be, you know, You Are Shock.
And I love like, yeah, like the very end where, you know, it could look lame just because it's just like a single frame of Ken doing a jump kick and they, like, just kind of slide it up towards the giant, but, like, it just looks cool, like yeah. Despite itself, it's just fucking, like, awesome.
I love Fist of the North Star. But, Michael, if you would give us your next pick.
Very well. That's Gurren Lagann's opening, and it's the third variant of the opening, which takes, you know, is the last third of the show. And if you haven't seen Gurren Lagann, I describe it to you as if Gohan grew up in Dragon Ball Z and remained the main character all the way to the end, like, and, like, he became even more badass than his father, basically. So, like, and, like, I love Gurren Lagann, and this is, like, my favorite version of that intro. And, like, I love the song, and just, like, the visuals are super cool. Like, you know, Gurren Lagann isn't so much about logic, but, you know, more about, like, passion and emotions and stuff and just being cool for the sake of cool. And, like, you know, I think the intro... and the intro is also, like, you know, the last third of the show is a time skip to, like, you know, 10 years after the first, like, two-thirds of the show. So, of course, I love time skip intros where, like, they try to catch you up on what everyone looks like now that they're all, like, grown up and shit. So, like, I like that aspect of it, too.
Yeah, they do a good job of that, too, because for me, it's like, it's been a long time since I've seen the show, but the animation is really nice, and then the way they go back and forth between, Simone, like, the cape and the former version and all that other stuff, and then it was, like, reminding me of, like, all the characters, like, the little feral guy and the drill bit and all that stuff and, you know, that kind of thing, so I enjoyed that.
Cool. Of course, you know that, like, I absolutely love it that, like, Simone and Viral is his rival. Like, at the end, they team up and, you know, it's an awesome, rival fusion, like, thing. Like, so, and yeah, I love that very last shot of him with the Kamina's cape draped around him walking while, like, on that rainbow road or whatever. Like, that's super badass. Justin, have you seen Gurren Lagann?
I have not, and I know you guys have talked about it several times over the years, and much like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, it's been on my queue in Crunchyroll for years, and every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I need to sit down and watch that, because it's only, like, what, 26 episodes long, but I just keep putting it off, but it definitely looks really cool.
Now I get all nostalgic about, instead of, like, the Toonami block, I'm like, remember the shitty sci-fi anime block where we would sit down and watch... horribly edited versions of Gundam 00 Monster and Gurren Lagann. Like, remember that, guys?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I remember, like, trying to watch Monster.
Well, it's like, I figured, like, you would like Gurren Lagann, Justin, because, like I said, it's basically like if Gohan grew up, became a badass, and piloted Fortress Maximus, basically. So, because, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and, like, another, like, I love the song. And I think I showed you guys, but I repurposed the song as, like, a G Gundam opening once upon a time. And I think it got removed from YouTube because of, like, copyright things. But it worked perfectly with, like, G Gundam, like, visuals, too. And Gurren Lagann takes a lot of inspiration from G Gundam, so.
They removed that, but they haven't removed their China Beach 8th MS Team mashup yet.
No, not yet.
With all seven Derek. Watches. Like,
they haven't noticed it yet, but now maybe the spies that listen to this podcast will notice.
Yeah, they'll notice it.
Oh, and the song title is Sorairo Days, I think. It translates to Sky Blue Days by Shoko Nakagawa. But yeah, I love Gurren Lagann, and this is my favorite version of the intro.
All right, well, Derek, why don't you hit us with what you got next?
Hit me with your best shot. Okay, so total cheat. It's not really an anime, but it is based on an anime. This is GTO. This is Great Teacher Onizuka. And the reason why I didn't go with the anime opening is because the anime opening does not have the 1998 live-action drama adaptation of the quote-unquote manga. But this was, again, another show that I discovered in one of my lower ebbs in life. And it was one of those things where the series itself is, you know, I don't exactly know how to pitch it per se. I mean, it's a Japanese biker dude who goes into teaching and inspires all these kids, and it's a look at humanity and kids that are maybe not the nicest of people, but he brings out the best in every one of them, kind of like, you know, I guess if Goku was a teacher And he made like all the shitty students that were like Piccolo and Frieza and Yamcha and like all those, if they were all the shitty students, it's like by the, it's like you watch episodes and you go, oh man, what a bitch that girl is, or oh man, what an asshole that guy is, or whatever. And by the end of it, they're like all in the same like squad trying to like bring down the other school in a spelling bee tournament or some shit, and then you're rooting for all these guys who you thought were assholes a long time ago, you know? So it's like, I don't know, it's just, it's a very inspirational show, I think. And the opening, like, that was one of those openings where I would never, you know, for the live action TV show, that I would never skip. The interesting thing about it is in the 1998 series, it's Onizuka, you know, great teacher Onizuka, right? So Takashi Soramachi is the actor / singer who portrays great teacher Onizuka. So as far as, I'm trying to just make sure, but like, I believe this is like a David Hasselhoff thing. I could be wrong, but the title of the song is Poison, but I do think he sang, yeah, I'm pretty sure he sang this song. So this is very much like a, you know, this is very much a Baywatch, like, I'll be there, you know, fucking thing or whatever, too. So it's got that I guess, element to it as well. But, I mean, it probably doesn't do too good a job, I mean, at least in the visuals of the live action, of reflecting what the series is about, per se, you know? Because it's a little more showy, you know, with the lights and the glam and the signs and the neon and all that kind of stuff. But I do, you know, really enjoy the song, and I feel like that conveys the kind of the inspirational, like I guess the reason why I like the intro song so much is that's what would play when he would be badass on the show, you know? So it's like any, like, think of it like anytime, like, if Gohan does the Kamehameha, it'd be like, you know, and it just kind of go into that, and it's like, but it was all very, you know, realistic badass stuff, where you just, you know, you kind of walk in a room and you assess the situation and you turn things on its head, and you make angry people happy, and you make sick people well, you know, like whatever it is, like something that's like actually achievable. And then usually, like, that's, you know, this was the song that was playing when that epicness would occur. So it's like, even though you don't see that necessarily visually reflected when you watch this intro, it's like, that's what I think of anytime I see the intro or hear the song. So you, I don't know. It's just one of those things for me. It feels very empowering to hear that song.
I definitely got the, like, sort of late 80s, mid 90s, like, drama, like, quality from it. Like, I was kind of like, while by the end of watching it, I was kind of like, I can see why Derek would like this. Like,
I've seen, I don't know, maybe 10 episodes of the anime. I've never seen the live action version, though, but just thinking of the anime takes me back to, like, painfully downloading episode, like, on dial-up, and it taking, you know, 5 hours or something, so that's why I only ever watched, like, 5 or 7 episodes, I guess. Mm. But yeah, I like this opening, and kind of like Mike said, it has, like, this, I don't know, weird, timeless quality, like, what, it was from 1999 or something, but it feels like, oh, okay, but it kind of feels like it's a little bit, you know, earlier than that. I don't know, it's kind of odd, but yeah, I like the song, and I've always been curious about the drama, but I just never checked it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's like, that might be one of those things where I'm the odd man out or the weird man out. Like, I mean, I would recommend the anime as well. I mean, I like the anime, but for some reason, I think that drama just caught me at the right time, and I ate it up. You know, I sort of devoured it, or maybe I clung to it for dear life, depending on my personal frame of mind at the time. But the other thing that was interesting and maybe speaks to the strength of the series and the show and everything is, I mean, this isn't the only time it was ever adapted either. I mean, they had, obviously there was a manga, they had the original anime, they had this 1998 series, and then there's a bunch of stuff I've never seen. There were like movies and other, there's like a Korean drama of it and like some other stuff. So like there's all kinds of stuff that came out of that, which I kind of find fascinating. So I mean, I think that's a testament to the maybe what you guys are talking about, the timelessness of the concept, because there's like a, I think there was a, you know, another series in like 2012 or something that I've never seen. So there's lots of stuff with the great teacher Onizuka.
All right, then we shall move on to my number four. The second opening for Death Note. It's by Maximum the Hormone. The song is called What's Up, People. When I was making my list, like, I knew this had to be on my list somewhere. And as soon as I put it on there, I was like, oh, I don't think they're going to like this one. But I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about it. But, like, I don't know. I've always liked heavy metal music. And so I guess this kind of speaks to that part of me. And it's just, Derek was talking about watching Shin-Chan on the Adult Swim website. So, like, I remember I was watching Death Note on Adult Swim, and I had missed, I think, two episodes in a row because I was moving and was busy and stuff. And I was like, oh, I can catch up on their website. And so I click on the episode, and this is the first thing I see, and I was like, What the crap is this? Like, this isn't Death Note. I was like, this looks like Death Note on drugs or something. It's so, like, it's so completely different from the first opening. And it's so, it's just full of, like, odd visuals. The coloring is a little off and psychedelic and everything. But I was just like, oh, okay, so I guess this is the second opening, and they decided to go with something completely different. But, you know, it's talking about anime intros you never skipped. I never skipped this. I thought this was great. I remember watching an episode and my roommate coming in, and he heard this, and he was like, Barbara, dude, like, what is going on? Like, are you're like rocking the fuck out? Like, what is this? And I was like, this is a new Death Note intro. He was like, oh, what? And he was like, what are they saying? And I had to look up the lyrics. I was like, oh, they're saying, Hey, you human sucker, you human fucker. I was like, okay, because it sounds like they're saying something else. But I was like, okay, I got curious about that. But speaking of curious, like, I'm kind of curious what your guys' thoughts are on this opening.
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I watched Headbangers Ball every now and then. Like, I got into some of the metal stuff, so like I don't unappreciate this or anything like that. Like, it's one of those things where. I think for some people, sometimes like they hear something like this and maybe they just hear noise. And I think for me, it's like one of those things where it's like, I sort of have to course correct or something. And it's like, oh, let me get on the right train track here. And it only takes like a second. And then you're like, oh, I, you know, it's like, kind of like what you're saying, like, it's jarring if you're in love and dead set with the first Death Note intro, like, mm-hmm. you'd have a hard time adjusting to it. But if you can switch the train track to the other track and just kind of go along with that ride, like, I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, I like how it shows all the characters, and you're looking at everybody kind of do their business, where you've got like Misa and Light, and then what's his face, L, you know, and I like how it's in sync, because it's like you think about it, and it's like I think it almost fits perfectly with L, because it's like he's doing his candy fetish, right? And it's like almost like that whole like repetitiveness of the banging music, you know, where it's like and he's like downing the M&Ms or whatever the hell it is, you know, like, and it's like, oh, I kind of get it, because it's like this quick, kind of easy rush of things, but you make it repetitive and everything, and then it's like when it really bangs, like when it's like, brr, it's like, oh, that's the sugar rush, like that's after he's eaten all the M&Ms, and he's like, brr, you know, and he's like into it, you know. So it's like, I don't know, like I kind of get it. Like I like Death Note. Like I think the only caveat to that is like I don't like when it turned into the, you know, the Carnage and Toxin show or whatever, where they had like other people. But otherwise, like when it's Light and L and Misa, like I'm on board. So
I've never seen Death Note, but I feel like I've never heard this intro, but I feel like I've seen a very small snippet of this intro, and I feel like that point at the beginning where I think it's Light laughing and it just keeps like repeating his like laughing face over and over and over again. Like I've seen that like spliced into like reviews of things, like where it's like, you know, I don't know, someone will be like, oh, we could just like watch Death Note, and it's like that just that quick cut of him laughing over and over again, and then like it cuts back and they're like, nah, let's not, like but I don't know, like I don't hate heavy metal either. I think, you know, if I was trying to get in the right mood to watch like Death Note, like I'd probably, you know, this would be an acquired taste for me probably. Like I don't hate it, but I think it would, like Derek said, I'd have to get in the right lane.
Well, I know you're familiar with the band, Mike, because this is the same band that did the Frieza song.
Yeah, the Frieza, 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 Frieza. Yeah.
And I love that song too.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite moment in this is like when Ryuk's dancing with the apple over top of his head. Like, that always cracks me up. And then I like, you know, all the little shots of Misa and her little, like, I don't know, gothic Lolita outfit or whatever. Mm. Like, all that stuff is really cool. But, man, this thing is just so, like, I'm looking at it right now. It's just like a visual LSD feast for your eyes almost. It's just so, I don't know how to describe it. But, yeah, I love it.
It's definitely kind of overwhelming, yeah. Like if you haven't seen it before, yeah.
Well, yeah, like I said, that was my reaction. I was like, "What is this? Like this isn't my Death Note. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm afraid.
This is not my beautiful Death Note. This is not my beautiful Misa."
All right, Michael, we are back to you.
Okay, this one might be kind of shocking to you guys if you know my tastes and whatever. So, speaking of kinds of music that I'm not usually a fan of.
Number three may shock you.
It may you are shock you.
So Battle Cry, the opening to Samurai Champloo. And, you know, I don't like hip-hop at all, but I don't know, I think it really works in this case. Like, I really like this intro, like, the visuals and, like, the song, it's just a chemical mixture that works for me. And, like, Samurai Champloo has a weird, like, reputation, I guess. They, like, everyone kind of, every time I ask, like, talk to someone about it, it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's good, but it's not as good as, like, Cowboy Bebop. Like, in, like, it's made by, you know, mostly the same people, so, like, that's kind of, it always kind of gets compared to Cowboy Bebop, but, you know, once I, like, I watched it when it originally aired on, like, Adult Swim, and I was kind of like, yeah, it was okay, I mean, but it wasn't Cowboy Bebop, but then I rewatched it, like, years later, and I had a better appreciation for it, because, like, I was more in tune with my own tastes and stuff, and, like, at the end of the day, like, Samurai Champloo is a show about rival fusion, basically, and, like, I, you know, I love that, and the intro, basically, you know, is focused on that as well. It shows, like, the differences between Mugen and Jean, and, like, you know, it contrasts their fight styles, like, their temperaments, like, and, you know, you've got Fu in the middle of it, like, and she's, like, kind of their anchor, and, like, I just really like the style of this intro, and the song, I think, really fits with it.
I think the song actually exemplifies the distinction, right? Like, because you've got something that's there's actual beats and music, and then you've got this kind of almost, you know, beatnik poetry thing going on. And at first you're like, this clashes, this doesn't fit together. And then the more you get into it, the more you're like, oh, wait, it's just taking time for them to sync up together, and it's kind of like Gene and Mugen. You know what I mean? Like they you know, and the show always had that weird dichotomy of trying to infuse like modern shit like baseball with feudal samurai stuff, you know, like, and it's like that stuff where you're like, this doesn't seem like it would make any sense together, but they somehow, you know, they somehow make it work, you know. So it's like, and that's, you know, I don't think that's something that needs to go unappreciated, you know, like I think for the most part it's like you might hear it on paper and go, oh, this will never work, but it's like that I think it's one of those improvisational, free-flowing type things that you know, it's like when you finally see it on screen, you're like, it works.
Yeah, like I especially like, you know, the very end where it's like those kind of like dissonant chords, but it's still like, you know, like you said, it kind of like it's clashing, but it's not in harmony really at all, but it still is somehow.
Have you ever seen Samurai Champloo, Justin?
Yes, I think it's a great series. I really like the visuals of the opening, but the song doesn't do much for me. I'm sorry. I get everything you guys are saying, and it makes sense to me, but I don't know. Whenever the opening would start, I think that's when I would either skip it or, you know, go get a snack. But like I said, I think the art style, the animation of the sequence itself, it's great. Like, there's some really nice visuals. A lot of it's just some interesting still stuff, like the snake wound around something and it's after, like, the fly or whatever. Like, that's completely contrary or contrasting, like, just the character standing there in silhouette with, like, an orange background or whatever. Like, I think the visuals are great and the series is really great, too, but the song does nothing for me. I'm sorry.
Some days, some nights, it's the way of Justin getting a sandwich.
Yeah.
Fool, give me a sandwich.
Give me a sandwich. Yeah, I really love that bit of Mugen and Gene, like, you know, standing up in front of that, like, sort of horizon or whatever after they finished, like, fighting and stuff. Like, that's a really awesome visual.
Yeah.
Or the bit where it like quick cuts between like Mugen doing his like berserker thing and Gene just kind of like running silently. And
all right, then Derek, you are next.
So that was the first opening to Cardcaptor Sakura, and yeah, I mean, basically, it's some really, really nice, you know, Clamp manga, I guess, basically. And then the actual intro has some really nice animation. I don't think I know who actually sung the song myself, but I guess I don't know. Like, this is like that. This is one of those things where, like, visually, I think it's captivating, the introduction, and I like the song. Like, it's catchy, and it also kind of just, I don't know, it's sweet, it's nice, it fits the nature of the show, you know, for the most part. I mean, there are some serious elements in the show, but for the most part, it's supposed to be kind of like a fun show, right? Like, so, I mean, for the most part, like, I don't know, like, I just kind of get into the vibe of the song, the rhythm, the beat, and everything. And, you know, as far as, you know, it kind of showcases, like, she's got, you know, Sakura, you know, she's got, like, the schoolgirl outfit, she's got, like, the magical kind of dress with the cloud cards and all that stuff. And, you know, so I for the most part, it's on my list.
No, it's fun. Know what it reminded me of? Like, especially in its opening few seconds, like, the opening to, like, a Nintendo game or something, or like a Mario game almost. Like, I don't know, it just had that kind of Nintendo flair to it. Like, and I guess, you know, it's kind of a show about a game almost, like, not a game, but, you know, I don't know, it's got that kind of, you know, isn't it kind of in that, like, Yu-Gi-Oh kind of class?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's probably more for for girls, I guess. But I was looking it up. It was actually sung by Megumi Hinata, but it was under the pseudonym of Gumi. So it's like the song is Catch You, Catch Me, and the singer is Gumi, a.k.a. Megumi Hinata. But yeah, it's J-pop, basically. I mean, it's just supposed to be kind of like feel-good kind of music, right? And then you've got this kind of, you know, for the most part, it's like a feel-good anime.
Really catchy song, like really charming, like visuals. Like I liked it. I've never seen it before, but I thought it was very... There was also an element of, like, I don't know, like almost vague, like Miyazaki, like sort of wondrous, like, you know, adventure kind of element to it, which I liked.
I've seen a lot of the English dub of Cardcaptor Sakura. I've never seen any of the subs, though. But I mean, I like the series. I really like that Clamp art style. I think it's great. This makes me think of, like, whenever I would go to see my buddy, and somehow it would turn into this big thing of, like, okay, what have you got for me today? Because it turned into this thing where he would be like, okay, I've got, like, this weird horror movie about lesbian werewolves, and that's what we would watch that night. And then after that, it would be my turn. He would be like, all right, what have you got for me? And I remember one night I had the first Cardcaptor Sakura movie, and he was never crazy about the series, which is weird because he loves stuff like Hamtaro and the Hello Kitty anime. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this should be right up your alley. Like, this is kind of a similar thing. And I was like, just give it a chance. So I put the movie in, and after about 15 minutes, I look over and, like, he's out, man. He's like, he's just conked out of sleep. And then he, like, manages to wake up for, like, the last, I don't know, 3 minutes of the movie. And then it goes off, and he was like, well, that was a waste. He's like, all right, so I've got this movie next. And I was like, oh, man. I felt like I had wasted my turn, and, you know, he just wasn't receptive to it at all, which I never understood. But yeah, like, I've always liked Cardcaptor Sakura, and, you know, I've got some Cardcaptor Sakura toys, like, on my bookshelf. I've got that big... the Book of the Cloud cards where you open it up and it's got all the little tarot cards. Like, I remember buying that years ago, and I was like, oh man, like, they made this? Like, this is so cool. And, you know, it was one of those things where you're like, I'm a grown-ass man, I'm in my 20s, and I'm buying tarot cards for a girly anime. And I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I think it's like one of those things where I think if somebody's just kind of, you know, not a dick about it, they're kind of like, oh yeah, I get it, the animation's nice, the art style's cool, you know, the characters look cute and everything, and, you know, it just kind of, you know, it's like one of those happy kind of go lucky things for the most part. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I suppose the only other thing besides saying, like, Hello Kitty and Hamtaro, I mean, I would think it's like, what do they call it, you know, shoujo, like, you know, it's like magical girl type, you know, so it's like if somebody liked, you know, Sailor Moon, right, then you would think they might like Cardcaptor Sakura, you know, that's the only other thing I could sort of equate it to, basically.
I mean, I like that Clamp art style so much, like, I don't know if you ever saw this, Derek, but there was that X anime film, have you seen that?
Yeah, I actually saw that in the theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was one of the ones, like, because I didn't know too much about the manga or even the series, right? But since it was playing in a theater, I did go and watch the film.
Well, I like that Clamp art style so much. I bought that on VHS. Like, I didn't know anything about it. I was like, ooh, this is by Clamp. Well, it's got to be good. And, you know, I bought it at FYE, so I probably paid, like, $25 or something like that for it. And I get home, and I thought it was, like, the most boring, terrible thing I'd seen in a long time. I mean, I've not watched it since then, so maybe my opinion would be different, but I just remember being so disappointed. I was like, man, like, what happened to Clamp? Like, this, it looks great, but this sucks. Like, this would put me to sleep. Oh, I guess it's my turn. So here is my pick. So that was the second Bleach opening. I recently sat down and, well, I kind of finished Bleach recently. I cheated because, like Batman, I'm a dirty cheater, and
the only way to do it, right?
Yeah, I used a non-filler episode guide, which was great. I've always liked this opening, and to me, like, this is Bleach at its best. The Soul Society arc. I mean, there are parts of the whole Aizen, you know, saga or whatever you want to call it, that are really, really good. But these characters invading Soul Society, in my opinion, the series never got any better than that. It seemed like after that they were just kind of repeating the same thing. It's like, well, what's the next story arc? Well, they got to go into Hectomundo, and this time they got to rescue Orihime. But didn't they just do the same thing but rescue Rukia? Yeah, never mind all that. But yeah, like, I really like this song. I think it's got some great visuals. My favorite part is when Kenpachi arrives. In typical Kenpachi style, he just, like, comes flying out of the sky and tears everything up, like, but just because he wants to battle. Like, I love Kenpachi. Like, when he started showing up and everything, I was like, oh, I like this dude. Like, he's awesome. Like, he just wants to fight. He doesn't care about anybody or anything else. And then what's weird is, like, he's such a badass, but then he's got this little, like, tiny anime girl, like Ichiro, on his back, who's so... she's so the opposite of him. Like, she's calling everybody, like, nicknames, and she calls Orihime, like, Jiggly and everything, and she calls Ikkaku, like, Baldy or whatever. I also like the part at the end where Yorichi tears off Saifong's Zenpaku 2, and she's just kind of sitting there with a blade in her mouth, like, in her cat mood. I'm like, dude, that's so badass. I also really like the lyrics on this. I don't know if you paid attention, but, like, there's some really great lyrics, especially at the beginning. Like, especially when you've got, like, Ichigo, Ishida, Chado, and Orihime, they're, like, in that little... they're there in their little, like, white t-shirts or whatever, and the lyrics are like, well, you know, will I lose my hold on her someday? Like, that's... I don't know. I guess it's like, if you were ever a guy in a relationship, you've had that thought at least once. You're like, okay, well, what if this, like, goes sideways? Like, what if, you know, someone else comes along? Like, I feel like that's pretty, I don't know, a universal lyric. I don't know. Like, what do you guys think about this opening?
Bleach is my anime that you described, Justin, where I'd tune in and it would be the same episode despite there being okay. Hundreds and hundreds of episodes of Bleach, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, come on, like, that's impossible. How could I have hit this episode twice? Like, so, like, I've only ever seen, like, random episodes of Bleach, and you know, my standard question whenever I ask you about Bleach is like, Orihime's boobs still great? Like, yeah, okay, good.
Like, dude, like, no joke, they get bigger, like, towards the end of the series. It's like the animation gets nicer, but, like, some of the character designs are changed slightly, and I swear, like, they're bigger, and I'm just like, I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, like, I always did want to, like, watch Bleach from the beginning, but I was always warded off by, yeah, like you said, that there's so much, the people have always said, oh, there's so much filler.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you can just skip entire arcs and you won't miss anything. Like,
it's true. Like, all of it.
I don't know, maybe one day, but, like, I've always liked the art style of Bleach, and, like, I have seen this intro before, because I think there's got to be, like, a friggin', like, what, 50 Bleach openings or something, because there was, like, a compilation of them, and I think I just, like, watched it straight through one day. And I was like, man, there were a lot of Bleach openings. Like,
yeah, I think there's like 15 or 16 or something.
Yeah, like, so, but I like this song. Like, I've seen this intro before. I like it. Like, none of the characters really mean anything to me, because I don't think I've ever really latched on to anyone, but maybe, you know, the core, like, three or four characters. But, like, yeah, like, no, I generally like this song. I like the look of the visuals, and yeah.
Here lies Derek. He was slain by the Bounce Saga, never to return. No, I can't fault you
for that.
I dig Bleach. I'm just espousing where I stopped. No, I watched Bleach a bunch. I enjoyed it. I went and saw a lot of the movies. I think probably the character I have and this is kind of because it was my mom's favorite character, because she went and saw, like, she didn't watch the show with me or anything, but she came and watched, like, when they had the Fandango or the, what it was, Fathom Events, like, they would show, like, the Bleach movies and everything. And so I think she watched, like, the first two Bleach movies with me, and she's like, who's the guy who makes the ice dragons? And I said, his name's Toshiro Itsugawa. And, like, and so she's like, I like him. He's cool. Like, I like him. And so I remember when I set up her computer, I put, like, Toshiro Itsugawa as, like, the wallpaper and everything. And she was trying to, like, say his name. She couldn't say it. And I was like, Toshiro Itsugawa. And she was trying to say it and everything. Anyway. But she dug that and everything, and she watched the anime with me. And I do agree with you. Like, this intro is definitely reflective of the best Bleach ever was. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's Soul Society arc. Like, I feel kind of like you, like, where, like, I sort of cheated in a different way, where I watched all those rock operas or whatever they were. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, all those plays and everything. And so, like, the plays would jump and would do all the big kind of arcs and everything like that. So it was like, and I got into that, and it's like, oh, that, you know, obviously the Soul Society one was the one I was most familiar with, and the opening stuff. But then they went into, like, other stuff where I wasn't, like, super familiar with it, but I still watched it and enjoyed it. And it wasn't, to me, it decidedly wasn't like a bunch of, you know, bount filler nonsense where everybody's running around with swords named after fucking German fucking Vikings or whatever the fuck, you know, like German verbs, you know, like, it's like, what? But I think that's the kind of stuff that I think of when I see this, and it is reflective of a lot of the characters, like you say. Like, if you have favorites, like, if Baldi's your favorite, right? Like, he gets a little moment, even though it's not like he's the, you know, it's not like he's the main, you know, he's not Ichigo, he's not Chad, you know, he's not Otohime, you know, he's not Rukia, right? Like, so, but still, they get to, you know, they get to showcase a lot of the different cast and everything like that, and that's kind of cool. And I also think it's kind of like the last time, like, Ichigo was kind of, like, pure. Like, does that make sense? Like,
it
like,
does, yes.
like, because it's like, I get it, he's like, he's, you know, he's a soul reaper, and he does his thing, and he's got the black cloak, and that's fine. But then it's like, it got to the point where, you know, he was doing the thing where he had the fucking thing on his face. And then I think I looked at some clip where it was like, you know, to me, it's like the equivalent of, you know, Super Smurf Goku or whatever the fuck, where you're just like, you're looking at Ichigo and you don't even recognize him anymore, because he looks like, you know, Carnage, the thing from Spirited Away, and fucking death metal DC character all had a fuck fest and shat out like some crazy thing with a sword, you know. And I was just like, I don't even recognize him anymore. But yeah, that was like one of those things where it was like, you know, this kind of reminds me of like, okay, this is what I, you know, at least recognize as Bleach, you know.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, once they started with the Ichigo struggling with his inner hollow, they kept going back to that well repeatedly, like for power-ups and stuff. And then, like you say, it eventually got to where, you know, Ichigo would take on these whole transformations, and you're just like, this looks cool, but it's hard to recognize the character anymore. And they just keep going back to that well. And so I totally understand what you say when you say this is Ichigo when he was still pure, and it totally makes sense.
One of the best jokes I've heard about Bleach was, I think they did it in a Dragon Ball abridged skit where Nappa and Vegeta were talking about anime, and Nappa was like, don't you like Bleach, Vegeta? Like, it's like us, but with swords. Like, and Vegeta's like, I liked it better when it was called Yu Yu Hakusho. and then Vegeta's like, and I liked Yu Yu Hakusho better when it was called Dragon Ball Z!
Bleach has become kind of a whipping boy. Like, I love the anime Gintama, and they frequently take shots at Bleach for you know, all its foibles, and for all, they even take like shots at it for doing like filler arc. Like they have this huge, you guys may have seen it, but they have like this huge explanation of like, okay, this is what you do when the anime catches up to the manga, and you've got to do your filler, and then you got to sideways go back around and catch up with the manga part, and then you got to go back to this. It's just like this huge like diagram that makes no sense. And as an anime fan, you're like, they're talking about Bleach without even mentioning Bleach. But enough about Bleach. Michael, why don't you hit us with your next pick?
This is my final pick because we had a Secret Brothers like without a star. So this I guess it held at gunpoint. This is probably my favorite anime opening of all time, maybe. And like we've called on this anime several times tonight, and I think it's finally time to give it its due. So. Okay, so I know it's not Head Shala, and I know this whole intro is a filthy lie, but I can't help but love it. Like, I can't help but have a ton of nostalgia for it. And like, this is one of those like anime songs that like I've heard it so many times that I actually know the Japanese lyrics to it too. So like, I can actually sing a little bit of it in Japanese. So like. And that's how many times I've seen this intro. And like, you know, if you haven't guessed, you know, it's We Gotta Power, like the second intro to Dragon Ball Z. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a filthy lie because Gohan is not the main character by the end of the saga. But it certainly makes it look like he's going to be. And, you know, this intro really sells that. And like, there's no part of this intro I find like weak or like, you know, a lagging point. Like, I love every bit of this intro. Like there's cool stuff. There's like, I love the bit where he's Great Saiyaman and he's just posing on top, yes, of that building. Like, that cracks me up every single time I see it. The part where Mr. Satan's TV explodes in his face, like, and he has that shocked expression, like, that cracks me up. When Trunks and Goten are like sparring and like their moms pick them up by their belts, like, I love that bit. Like, I just love this intro, like, in its entirety.
I like when Videl's like, "Who's this bitch on your arm, Gohan?"
Oh yeah, what's her name? What was her name? It was like Pencil and Eraser, I think. Oh, like her, yeah. the male and the her. Like, I forgot, but. I love how, like, they thought, like, probably, I think at this point, like, Toriyama was, like, well into the tournament in the manga. But, like, it seems like they made this intro with the belief that, like, Gohan was going to be, you know, the main focus. And, like, you know, his high school adventures would be more, you know, prominent than they were.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm with you. I have so much nostalgia for this, too. Like, this takes me back to, like, watching a really bad rip of movie 12 on VHS and, you know, painfully downloading Busaka episodes on dial-up and, you know, like, just looking every couple hours, like, is it done yet? Is it done yet? Oh, my God. And then my favorite moment, aside from the Ginyu poses or whatever, like, I just love the very beginning where the orange cloud swirls around. You've got Gohan, Goten, and Trunks on the dragon, and everything swirling around, and then, you know, Piccolo and Vegeta fly by. Like, I love all that stuff. It's great.
I think this looks weird to me because it doesn't have all the VHS tape snow, and it doesn't have, like, faded, like, ripples and weirdness and color, like, fade and all that kind of stuff, because it's like, I'm like, it looks so clean and new and bright and everything. And it's like, it looks so weird.
I know exactly what you mean because, like, when I first saw this intro, I had already seen the Head Shala intro, but, like, I didn't know this intro existed. So, like, I had vague, like, knowledge that, oh, yeah, the Buu saga, like, you know, it takes place sort of in the future and everyone's kind of grown up. But, like, the first time I saw it, and, yeah, on a cruddy VHS that was all, like, staticky and the subtitles were, like, barely readable and stuff. Like, I was like, oh, cool, like, a new intro, like, oh, this is going to be awesome, like, you know. So, yeah, I have a lot of nostalgic love for, like, that feeling.
I had a feeling someone would pick Ed Chala for this episode. I didn't expect We Got a Power. That's great, though.
Yeah, I do love like Head Chala. Like I get you know warm gooey nostalgic feelings when they play it like too like mm-hmm. especially like you know like in the Broly movie where you know it cuts to Goku and Vegeta sparring on the ocean and they've got that lyricless like karaoke version of Head Chala playing like the, like that stuff like that makes me smile but I don't know like we got like I like Gohan better than Goku so like and this is Gohan's intro even though you know it doesn't really like pan out that way in the actual series so yeah like I love the bit at the end where you know the group shot where like Ghost Goku like drops down and they put their arms around each other like that's great
you know what I think of when I see that group shot at the end is like I remember seeing that on like some you know crappy website and I remember me and my friends were like trying to figure out who some of these people are we were like okay well like Krillin has hair? Like, that's weird. But then, like, you know, Videl and her two friends, we were like, who are these guys? Like, are these more androids? Like, who are these people? Well, we had no clue who these people were. Like, I just remember we were, like, trying to figure this out desperately.
Like I said, infinite nostalgia for this opening. Like, it's probably my favorite Dragon Ball opening. And Dragon Ball's had a lot of good openings. Like, even GT's, like, actual opening. You know, Dan is really good, yeah. Even if GT yeah. isn't. So,
I really like that second opening for Dragon Ball Super, the Tournament of Power.
That's a great opening as yeah. well. Yeah,
yeah. That yeah. always got me in the mood for the episode.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think in that opening, it's like you know, I think everyone got excited where it's like you know, it shows Gohan meditating and he opens his eyes and he gets like the mystic power up again, and they're like, "Hey, Gohan's gonna be relevant again." And he, yeah, kinda, maybe, like a little bit, like yeah.
Well, if you want to talk about being cheated, I remember seeing Majin Buu in that opening. I'm like, "Yeah, Majin Buu," and then I was like, "Oh man, you cheated me!" Like, yeah, asleep again. Like no.
And then it's all of a sudden it's whoa, ho, 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 ho.
Yeah, it's okay. I love Frieza.
It's though. Like Frieza got like one of those big like hooks and like pulled Majin Buu like out of the opening.
All right, then Derek, it is your turn now.
Oh, and as you'll notice, these will get newer and newer, so it'll kind of be like some of your first picks. So, this is the opening to Yokiyushi Tomino's Overman King Gainer, or King Gainer. Yeah, so this is the first opening. This is from Yoshiki Fukuyama, and kind of like I think this harkens back to our discussion about Reconvista and G. And I don't know if you guys ever checked this out when we had that discussion, but you know, essentially, like I kind of compared Reconquista and G to Overman King Gainer, kind of like King Gainer was like the precursor to that. And I think there's a lot of elements in this intro that I think are applicable to it. I mean, you know, it definitely has the Tomino feel, the show itself. You know, there's lots of those little, you know, triangle cuts into cockpits. And, you know, I think there's stuff that you know, if you like Tomino, if you like mecha anime, I think you'll enjoy the show. It kind of has a feel of a slight feel of Battlestar Galactica, where they're trying to take a caravan of people, and the you know the King Gainer mecha is trying to protect those people as they traverse, you know, and that kind of notion. I think for somebody like Mike, you know, there's like the lead character who is kind of like the nerdy young kid pilot and everything, but he's kind of got his backup, which is like the older mentor type who kind of looks like Domo and Kashu a little bit in the intro. And he's very much, you know, a ruggish Han Solo type of character, you know, that kind of, you know, you're all clear kid, let's blow this thing and go home type thing. And then, you know, going back to the Reconquista NG, not only like the animation style itself, but just the notion of, you know, there's all these people dancing to the music of the intro to the point where it gets... It gets so ridiculous, you have to appreciate it. Like, I love how, you know, the kids are doing, like, you know, pirouettes and ballet, and then all of a sudden the mechs themselves are doing the shuffle to the song, you know? And it's like not only are all the animals and the characters and the kids and the cats and the dogs doing the little shuffle dance, but then now all the mecha are together doing a Rocket line, basically, you know, in this anime. But yeah, and of course the music itself, you know, it's you know most of the music is like Yoko Kanno type stuff, I think. But this is one of those things where it's like I think it's interesting because I feel like the I don't know that the show is not fun, but there's lots of serious elements to it. But the intro maybe makes it a little more fun than the content of the series is, because it is a Tomino show, right? But I think it always kind of got me revved up to watch the show, and of course it passed, you know, the whole sniff test. Like, I like watching this intro. Like, it's kind of fun and kind of gets you into it, and when everybody's in the cha-cha line, it's kind of like you want to get in the cha-cha line too and be like, king, kingdom, you know, and kind of get into it and everything. So that's kind of why this is one of my favorite intros.
I definitely feel the Rikengiste and G like influence from this, but this is a total blind spot for me. Like, I know you've mentioned this several times over the years, but I have yet to check it out.
If I didn't already know this was a Tomino show, like, I would have guessed it from this intro. Yeah. Like, it's got that kind of, like, yeah, even you can see it as far back as, like, Mobile Suit Gundam's, like, intro. Like, he likes certain things, like, I think, like, you know, the whole cast, like, sort of pointing at things or, like, in a line or, yeah, just stuff like that. Yeah, like, I agree, like, with you, Derek. Like, I think there's a lot of, you know, I was, like, hyped to see a show I've never seen before. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, and I noticed a lot of, like, you know, Rikengiste and G, like, we're taking influence from this, and also Turn A. Like, I feel like there's a lot of Turn A.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the missing link between Turn A Gundam and Rikengiste and G. It's like, it's like, oh wow, there's a, you know, Cro-Magnon hominin, blah 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 blah. You know, or whatever. You know, there's some other species we've discovered in the evolution or whatever. And it's like, if you've never seen it, it's like it kind of gives you a new insight, I think, to both those other shows, I guess.
I think even like at the very end when the mech like kind of turns and like really rapidly and freezes, like I think the Turn A does the exact same thing in Turn A's opening. So,
yeah, yeah.
Turn A.
Yeah, there's nobody.
Overman King Gainer.
Nobody's like Overman King Gainer.
And there's nobody going, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
All right, and now we will have my number two pick. That was the second opening for Hajime no Ippo. The song is Inner Light by Shocking Lemon. I started watching this anime 5 or 6 years ago, I think. I don't know, like, it was one of those anime that just kept getting recommended to me. And because it's about boxing, I just kind of, like, you know, blew it off because I'm not really much of a sports person. But it just kept getting recommended to me by so many different people. I checked it out, and it's great. Like, if you guys made me create like a top 10 list of my favorite anime ever, like, this would be somewhere in the top 3. Like, I think it's that good. And I guess my elevator pitch would be like, what if Goku decided to become a boxer? Because that's kind of like the... That's kind of how Ippo is, like, the main character, like, the character you see, you know, getting beat up and who's, like, you know, on his knees and getting back into his fighting pose there at the end. Like, he's this kid who is getting bullied at school, and then he comes across, like, the current Japanese heavyweight champ, And the guy's like, well, you know, like, you could always get stronger. Like, you could, you know, you could fight these guys back. And so the guy just goes to the boxing gym and just starts training. And he doesn't do it to, like, get back at those bullies. He just kind of does it to make himself better. And when I compare him to Goku, like, he has the same kind of, like, never give up attitude. And he also has the same mindset of, I want to fight as many people as I can. Like, I want to fight this guy. And then I want to fight the next highest ranked guy in my weight class. Like, you see a guy in the intro with his back turned to the audience, I guess. Like, that's Date-san. Like, he's the current champ in Ippo's weight class. And that's kind of, like, Ippo's goal for this part of the series. Like, he's taking on all these different challengers. He's fighting his way up the ranks. And, like, that's his goal. Like, he wants to challenge the current champion in his weight division. But, yeah, like, I think this is a great anime. I love the visuals of this opening. I mean, it's so badass. Like, you have a guy practicing boxing, like, surrounded by fire. Like, that's just so badass to me. And, I mean, like I said, I'm not a sports guy, but I thought this was great. And it kind of led me down a rabbit hole. Like, I've been watching various other sports anime since this. Like, I know I recommended a tennis anime to someone last year. It's called Baby Steps. And I mean, tennis, like, I don't care about tennis. I've never even played tennis. But because I watched this, I kind of was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be so close-minded about, you know, sports anime. But I was like, man, this anime is really great about tennis, of all things. Like, I'm genuinely into, like, what the rules are. And, like, you know, is this guy going to, like, you know, win his, like, you know, tennis competition or whatever. And, like, I kind of felt the same way about the boxing in this series. And there's a lot of humor in this series, too. It's just, I don't know, the character of Ippo is kind of innocent, I guess, or naive about the world. And he's got all these, like, different girls that, you know, they're like, oh, wow, like, he's a boxer. Like, he's in really great shape and he's really cute and all this stuff. And, like, everyone else at his gym, it's like, it would be like if you took Gohan, who's kind of innocent, and put him in a room with, like, all these other, like, guys who are, like, you know, kind of perverted and stuff. They're like, oh, you know, we could get this guy into some trouble, or, like, oh, like, you know, we could get him caught doing something and make it seem something risque when it's actually not. I don't know. Would I be right in saying, like, you guys have never seen or heard of this anime before?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true for me. I feel like I've heard of it, but this is the first time I've ever seen the intro to it. So I'm not completely oblivious to it, but I've never actually seen it before. It seemed like it was kind of like, you know, if Rocky was an anime, sort of. Like, at least that's the vibe I got from the intro, you know? And, like, I kind of get what you're saying. Like, I'm not Mr. Sports myself, right? But, like, I've boxed, I've played tennis, you know, like, so, I mean, I could see, like, some of those things, like, if you have some kind of interest in it, you know, maybe if somebody had a passing interest in watching, you know, football or baseball or whatever it is, and there was some anime, like, I know there's a baseball anime, I remember seeing, like, posters for it or whatever, but, like, you know, maybe you check that out based on your interest and everything. And I could see getting into something like this. Cause I mean, obviously it's like, what, it's like, not only what if Rocky was an anime, but I imagine it's like, what if Rocky was an anime and there were a bunch of tournament sagas, you know, it's like, you don't just fight Mr. T, it's like, you fight, you know, Mr. T and freaking Dolph Lundgren and everybody, you know, all in like one arc to get to like some big bad or whatever, you know, like type thing. So I would imagine that's got to be the draw of it, right? Like to see the ebbs and the highs and the lows and all that kind of stuff, the goals and the you know, the struggles and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there is a Russian boxer that comes in later, and at first everyone's like, oh no. Because they're kind of like, you know, they're thinking of the same thing, right? But he ends up being like this really cool guy. You know, they make friends with him and stuff. And then like, I think towards the beginning of the series, like there's this like huge black guy who's like a boxer in Japan. And they're all kind of afraid of him because he's so big. And they're just like, oh, he boxes with like a kind of a different style. And he's an American. And, you know, they've never boxed anyone like that before. So they're like all intimidated and shy and sheepish about it and stuff. But it's just a really great anime. I love it.
Does he ever go, Adrian-san?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's a super badass intro, like you said. Yeah, all the flames around him while he's training, like, that's super cool.
He's like, get up, Hajime, because Mickey loves you, you son of a
bitch. Well, since Mike and I were secret brothers, I guess it's back to you, Derek.
Okay, so this will be my final, and this will be the most recent on my list. So this is the I'm a basic bitch. This is the first opening. I didn't pick the third or the fifth or the seventh or whatever. This is the first opening to Eureka 7. And this is a 2005 anime from Bones Studios. It is a mecha-based anime. You'll see the main mecha is like surfing in the sky and everything like that. And the song is called Days. And it's a single of a band named Flow. And that basically, I mean, you know, it's J-pop. It's kind of, you know, fun, motivational type thing. I enjoy this anime a lot. I think it's odd because I don't necessarily have, like, super fond memories of my entire experience doing this. But this show kind of reminds me of everything I liked about working at a casino. I don't know if that's weird or not, but it's just like certain I was watching this when I was working there, and you know the main, I think it's like Renji is the main guy, and he's you know looking after Elreka, and Elreka's kind of, you know, she's not quite all there, you know, per se, you know, so it was kind of like hanging out with girls who didn't quite grasp English completely and all that kind of stuff. And like there's certain aspects to it where he's kind of like a kid from, you know, kind of like a boring kind of, you know, area or whatever, and then he kind of gets picked up by all these kind of mercenary surfer pirate dudes or whatever, you know. So it's like there's aspects of it where there's a little bit of culture shock for him, and that kind of, but he becomes almost, you know, welcome to this crew. They like him, he likes them, you know, and they're all trying to do their best to look out for one another, you know, in the situations and scenarios they're in. So I mean, that's kind of what this is. The song just kind of reminds me of that, and you know, kind of give me good vibes, good feels. And this is one of those things where by this point, like, you know, it's 2005, so there were multiple openings to this show. So this first opening only, I think, lasted for like the first like 13 episodes or so. So there are other openings as well.
I do like Elreka 7. I've seen it. It's weird because I think I saw it fairly close to when it was first released. What would you say, 2005 probably? Yeah. I don't think I've ever rewatched it since then, and I don't remember a whole lot about it. And I think when I think of it, like the intro I think it's the fourth intro where it's, you know, Amazing Grace.
Oh, yeah.
That one. Like, I think that would be my favorite one. But I do. This is a good intro, though. And I mean, Elreka 7 is like, you know, you kind of root for Elreka and like Renton. Like, they're so cute together. It's like, so it's like, what do they call it? Like saccharine. Like, it's so they're like, they're so adorable together. Right, it's like, I just want to die. Like, and the movie is like a million times that, because they have to fit their entire relationship into a movie. Like, so that, like, I kind of have, like, those, like, I was like, oh, man, I can't ever watch this movie again, because it's so goddamn sweet, like, I can't, like, I just can't.
Like, I think at that point, I didn't have any sweetness in my real life, so I could use all the faux, fake TV sweetness I could get.
Yeah, but I mean, I do like this anime, like from what I remembered of watching it, and like this is a good intro. Like I think, you know, the mecha is very unique. Like I think were you kind of like lured to it, Derek, because the mecha's like surfing and he's like the Silver Surfer
There's that aspect to it. I mean, I think that looks cool. I mean, I'm not the type of guy that like gets super into the details of mecha like other people do, but just the basics of it is attractive to me. They're not in space per se, right? But they're on a ship. It's an airship, kind of like, you know, the helicarrier or whatever. And then they have these cool kind of, you know, it's like this whole you know, I don't know, Vin Diesel nonsense, you know, this extreme mecha, right? Extreme sports or whatever, where it's like, oh, they're doing, you know, they're skydiving ish type thing, you know, like, so it's like I can appreciate the basic concept of it, and it's like one of those things where I think it's pretty cool. And you know, I mean, it's kind of a standard anime trope too, you know. It's like the young kid who gets in that suit and manages to do like all kinds of cool stuff with it, you know, whereas other people can't do the same thing for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, genetics or talent or, you know, whatever kind of trope they want to fall back on, you know, their Jedis, their new types, their whatever, you know. And it's like that kind of stuff, those tropes are all sort of overlaid onto this story.
Do you want like Renton to be like, I got friends, I got family?
At any point in the series, do they Tokyo Drift across the galaxy?
they Tokyo Drift. I don't know if it's across the galaxy.
Seeing this intro makes me irritated. I'll tell you why. I had a friend and we were talking about anime, and anyway, long story short, I mentioned to him I hadn't seen Record of Lodoss War in a long, long time. And he was like, oh, I've got the box set, I'll let you borrow it. I was like, all right, cool. So he brought it over, and I think I got to watch like the first three episodes. And he came over and he was like, hey, I need that back. And I was like, okay, but I just, you know, I've been busy with work. I just got to episode three. He's like, no, I want it back, I want to watch it again. And I was like, kind of irritated. I was like, okay. It's his, so, you know, I'm not going to argue with him. A few days later, he comes over and he was like, oh, have you ever seen Eureka 7? I was like, no. He's like, here's the box set, you know, like, have fun watching it. I was like, okay, cool, because I had heard a lot of good stuff about it. So I get to like episode 11, maybe. And guess what happens? Hey, dude, I need that back. Yes. I'm like, dude, I just got to like, you know, episode 10 or 11 or 12 or something. He's like, no, I want it back, I want to watch it again. I was like, again, I was super irritated, but I was like, it's his. I'm not going to argue with him. And I never asked to borrow anything of his ever again. And I've never finished watching Eureka 7.
Well, at least it didn't take three times to hit you over the head, right?
Yeah.
That's too bad. I remember enjoying that, but I you know, I don't know. So sometimes I think like with some of this stuff, it's like the right series at the right moment and stuff. Yes. And if you watched it at a different point in your life, it wouldn't have the same meaning to you if you watched it, you know, today or when you were six or, you know, whatever, right? Like it's like, you know, I mean, it's stupid to say, but you already mentioned it. You're talking about like Go Nagai. It's like Devil Man would not have the same impact on a 6 year old that yes. It would on a 40 year old, that it would on a, you know, a 21 year old or whatever, right? Like so it's like I think it's all sort of relative to when you're exposed to it and then how you process it, you know, with your current sort of mindset at the time and everything. But I just for the purposes of this, I just tried to pick things that, you know, one, I enjoyed watching and didn't want to skip the intros for. So as long as it checked all those buttons, I thought great. I had my secret agenda of, you know, basically trying to make it a series of five intros that transcended certain decades and generations. I don't know how successful I was with that, but I mean, I tried to pick things that, you know, genuinely liked, but also, you know, I wanted to have, you know, something from the 70s, something from the 90s, something from, you know, the aughts or whatever. So I tried. I mean, I didn't have too much from the 80s, and I didn't have too much, I guess, quote unquote, modern, right? Like, I didn't have anything within the last decade either, but I tried, you know? And then the other secret agenda was I kind of had vague ideas that maybe some people might pick some things. So I guess I purposely shied away from things like Outlaw Star and Gurren Lagann and, you know, things that I thought you guys might pick.
Well, I still have my number one pick left. So without further ado.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
So that was the intro, Tank, composed by Yoko Kanno and performed by the Seatbelts. This may seem, I don't know, cliche or predictable, but I don't know. I freaking love this opening. We talked a lot about nostalgia. Like, I have so much nostalgia for this, and just, you know, it makes me think back of sitting up at, you know, late in the night watching this on Adult Swim, and it was on Adult Swim for, I don't know, probably 10 years, you know, in different time slots, and whenever it was on, I would just automatically watch it because I love Cowboy Bebop, and I love the animation and the story, and I love the soundtrack. I think there are 3 or 4 albums that comprise the total soundtrack, and I've listened to them all, and they're all, you know, good to various degrees. Cowboy Bebop has such a interesting soundtrack. I don't think at that time I had heard anything like that. You know, when I first saw the intro, I was like, well, what is this? Like, this is different. Like, you know, you expect some kind of, like, maybe something like J-pop, or you just expect something instrumental, or, you know, it could be anything. But I don't think I expected a series about bounty hunters in outer space to have a mostly jazz soundtrack. And it's a great soundtrack. And Tank is a great intro, and it's my favorite anime intro ever, I think.
I think it is a great series, a great set of soundtracks. I mean, basically what you said. I mean, everybody's probably got their own origin story when it comes to Cowboy Bebop, you know, but as far as kind of appreciating the uniqueness of the material, especially the music. I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, you can't understate, right? Like, because it's like, what is Star Wars without John Williams? It's like, what is Cowboy Bebop without Yoko Kanno? You know, like, type thing where you're like, this is what, I mean, you would show this intro to somebody who could give 2 fucks about anime, and you could get them interested, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I mean, that speaks to the strength of the, you know, the entire series and concept. And then just this intro in and of itself, you know, because they would hear good music. It wasn't Japanese. It wasn't anime. It wasn't Japanime. It wasn't whatever the fuck they had a hang up about. It was just something that looked cool, sounded cool, and they would give the time of day, you know? And it's like that, especially back then, you know, in the late 90s or whatever, like that was rare.
I don't like jazz. I mean, I'm just going to say that outright. Like, I'm not a big fan of jazz, but I do recognize, like, how cool and, like, awesome and iconic this intro is. It's a great intro. Like, the song is great. Everything about it is great. However, Cowboy Bebop kind of became something to me like Pulp Fiction is, sort of, where so many people latched onto it. And, like, at a certain point, I was sick of hearing about it. Mm. Like everything was compared to Cowboy Bebop in anime. And I was like, yeah, I know it's great, but can we, like, move on and do, like, other things? Like, you know, that's, like, probably why I picked, like, Samurai Champloo's opening instead of Tank. Like, because, like, again, it's a great opening, but, like, when I'm not a big fan of jazz. So, like, when I watch it, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, this is a great opening, but it doesn't do a whole lot for me. I don't know if that's, like, weird, if I'm explaining it right, but it just doesn't, like, when I see it, I'm like, oh yeah, Cowboy Bebop is starting. I don't like, even when I watched it like on Adult Swim, I kind of wasn't like, this is some revelation to me. I was just kind of like, oh yeah, this cool anime I like is starting. Like it never really, I don't know, it didn't get me like hyped for the show. Like the show itself was like good enough to get me hyped, like, you know, anyway, but this is maybe, and maybe this is sacrilege, but like, maybe like this is like an intro maybe I'd skip sometimes.
Hmm. I get what you're saying though, because it's a weird feeling when something you love is widely recognized to the point where you're tired of hearing about it. I mean, it's like hearing about Star Trek II or Empire Strikes Back, like those are, you know, big science fiction movies, and maybe I'd throw 2001: A Space Odyssey in there, but I love those films, but it can also be very tiresome to have everything that comes out compared to those films. So I get what you're saying about that.
I think there's also like this aspect of, you know, that maybe some people were there earlier than others, or there first or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the annoying aspect to it is, it's not, and I know there's people that, you know, that, oh, don't gatekeep and this and that and the other thing. And I don't think that's what this is about, but I think there is the slight perturbed annoyance of, you know, somebody who is having, you know, it's like, you know, it's kind of like Mike is always talking about the filthy Kazzies. And it's like, nothing's worse than a filthy Kazzie going on and on about how great something is, and you saw it like 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, where you just like, and you have to sit there and like just humor, you know, it's like, boy, it is great. You know, I mean, and it's like that thing of decorum. It's like, I'm not going to tell somebody the Batman Who Laughs is dumb to their face, but I'll sit there and listen to them say how great they think it is. But it's even worse when it's something that you like, but then it's like, there's an aspect of it where, Unless you're on the right wavelength with somebody and you can, you know, sort of share in their zeal of discovering it for the first time, that's one thing. But it seems like if it got you to the point where their after zeal was so distasteful that it actually impacts your personal enjoyment of the show, like, then there's, and it's like, I don't know, that's like a funny thing to say, but like, I don't think that's happened to me with Cowboy Bebop, but I could understand why like something like that might occur, you know, where you're just kind of like, oh, like it just, I guess the right way to say it maybe is it's like don't make me feel cringe about something I really like, you know, but sometimes that can happen, right?
Know what it, like I said, and I feel the same way about Pulp Fiction almost, where I have all these memories of like friends at the time who were like, you know, sort of like wannabe like writers like I was. And they were kind of like, oh yeah, like I'm going to write a Cowboy Bebop live action movie, like screenplay, and we're going to sell it and it's going to be like awesome. And I was just kind of like, no, you're not. Like, or I'd be like, why though? Like, you're not going to do it better than the anime did it. I knew people who were like, oh, they should tell more tales in like the Pulp Fiction like universe or whatever. Like, I'm like, but why? Like, you're not gonna improve on something that's already like so good that it made you feel this way, basically. Like, you can't add to that universe like in any meaningful way, I feel like. What are you gonna like? Oh, like, we're gonna do a sequel to Cowboy Bebop where Spike's still alive and like he has a like cyborg body now or something. And like, I'm like, no, like, you cannot improve on like how Cowboy Bebop ended. You can't go anywhere from there because it's perfect. And stop talking about how you can make it better somehow. Like,
I guess that's one thing you reminded me of. Like, I mean, I know, who knows if we're ever going to see it, but I forget who they cast, but like, you know, they were talking about this live action thing, and then What's-His-Face got hurt or something. I forget who they cast as Spike, but he got hurt.
Oh, John Cho.
So John Cho got hurt, right? And then, but it's like, even before that happened, and I remember there was some buzz and people wanted to, oh, live action Cowboy Bebop. I kind of felt like you felt about, your friends wanting to write a live action cowboy. Like my immediate gut reaction was like, why? You know, like, why? It's almost like I feel bad because I haven't watched enough of it to make this declaration, but I kind of feel like it was my gut reaction to the few episodes of Preacher that I watched, where I was like, oh, they can't, it's like people wanted to do it really, really bad. They wanted it, but it just didn't happen, you know, like, I guess, I don't know.
And, like, I don't want to sound, like, down, because I adore Cowboy Bebop, like, the series, like, and I'm not a big fan of jazz, but I can recognize, like, you know, I can recognize quality when I see it. Like, it's an awesome intro, like, and, like, even, like, whereas Samurai Champloo's, like, intro made me like that, like, you know, hip-hop sort of song, like, that they played, like, Tank, like, the song is just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's jazz. Like, I don't know. It didn't make me like something I didn't like already, basically.
Well, I guess I can counter the whole don't like jazz thing, because I adore fucking jazz. And, like, that's, you know, everything about Yoko Kanno that delves into that, I think, is exceptional. And then I think because of this, it's like I think that's one thing. Like, if anything's been branded out of that, you know, it, for me, it's like, you know, it might get to the point where it's like John Williams, where, you know, the later John Williams stuff, it's like, oh, it doesn't give me quite the warm and fuzzies as maybe the original, you know, some of his early, you know, works or whatever. It's like, to me, you know, the later John Williams scores are not the same thing as, you know, Superman the movie or Empire Strikes Back, or Star Wars, or Jaws, or what have you, right? Or Raiders of the Lost Ark, whatever, right? But I guess what I'm trying to get at is I haven't yet experienced that with Yoko Kanno, but maybe I haven't been paying attention too much to recent stuff from Yoko Kanno. But I mean, at one point, it was like that thing of, because of Cowboy Bebop, it's like, that's one of the main reasons why I adore the Escaflowne movie, because of Yoko Kanno. You know, yeah. Like, that's one of the reasons why I love Turn A, is because of Yoko Kanno. You know, so
I'll never say anything bad about Yoko Kanno.
Yeah. So that's just one of those things where I'm like, anytime I see her name on something, I'm just kind of like, even if the show is complete crap, I'm like, I bet you all like the music. You know, like, so.
Okay, I've got an extra for you, Mike. This is my favorite song, probably, on the Cowboy Bebop album. I sent Mike the track Cats on Mars, and I don't know, there was just something about that song. Like, whenever I come to that and I listen to the album, it's just so... It's weirdly upbeat and trippy and, I don't know, childlike. I don't know. I just think it's great, but I don't know. I'm trying to combat some of Mike's Cowboy Bebop negativity here. I don't have any more honorable mentions, but there are a few openings that I guess are fan favorites that if I didn't mention them, I would probably kick myself. So I'm just going to talk about these very briefly. I really love the first opening for Ranma One Half. I love both intros for Macross Frontier, and maybe we'll talk about that someday. And, you know, if Derek ever gets to it, maybe we'll talk about that. I really love the first opening for Fairy Tale. It's very relaxing, and it's very like, hey, we're gonna chill out and go have a big adventure. Like, I really like that. And then there are a bunch of openings for Saint Seiya that I love. Like, the very first one from the original series, Pegasus Fantasy, I think is great. And then I also like the, reimagining that they made of that song for Saint Seiya Omega. And then the second opening for Saint Seiya Soldier Dream, I think is also great. And then finally, the opening for Saint Seiya The Lost Canvas. It's another one of those... it feels very laid back, the song, and it, you know, it's one of those laid back, we're gonna have an adventure, but the animation is so good, and then the song itself is all in English. I mean, I thought that was really interesting, because, you know, a lot of these songs, they have little pieces of English, or maybe there'll be like a word or a phrase here and there, but like the whole entire opening song for Lost Canvas is English. And I was just, that immediately, I was like, oh, this whole thing is in English. And then the second time I heard it, I was like, you know, this is not a bad song. Like, I really like this. But those are, oh, and then the first opening for Dot Hat Sign, I think it's called Obsession. Like, Cowboy Bebop, great soundtrack overall, probably my favorite. But then also Dot Hat Sign has a really, really great soundtrack. I love the whole soundtrack for Dot Hat Sign. It's a really good series, and it has some really, really great music. But I just wanted to talk about some of those because those are fan favorites. And like I said, I sometimes have a hard time, you know, coming up with a definitive, you know, top five list of anything. And these intros that I just mentioned, some of these kept like jockeying for place. I think originally I wrote like 10, and then I was like, oh, that's too many for, you know, a podcast like this. It would be like 4 hours long or something, and I didn't want to do that all night. But I just wanted to mention those because those are some of my all-time favorites as well.
Yeah, I had some that didn't make the list, like, quite, like, you know, I mentioned Head Chala, like, I do mm-hmm. I do love that,
yeah,
you know, that song. Yeah, the second Super intro is great as mm-hmm. well. I even like the original, like, Dragon Ball, like, open it.
Yeah,
find those Dragon Balls, you know, and like I used to make up my own lyrics to that song. Like, I'd be like, you know, find those Dragon Balls, they're up there on the roof. Like, and then, like I used to, like, just sing like that. But the intro to Ghost in the Shell's second season I really like. I think it's called Rise by Auriga. I always, like, that was something I used to watch on Adult Swim, and I really liked that intro because the first intro was all like this, like, early 2000s CGI that looked terrible and yeah. hasn't aged well at all. But the season's intro is all, like, you know, traditional cell animation, and it just uses a lot of cool, like, angles, and, like, the song goes really well with it. Derek mentioned Big O. I actually don't like Big O's intro. Like,
I love it.
Like, I don't know. It's just, it seems kind of cheap to me because it's just, like, you know, still images, like, being flung across the screen. Like, and the song's, I mean, the song's okay. I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me, you know. Big O!
To me, it kind of reminded me a lot of Flash Gordon. You know,
yeah, I was
like,
going to say
like,
Queen.
That's kind of why, like, I like
isn't it.
Isn't
it, like, basically, I think they actually said it's actually swiped from, like, Queen or something. Like, mm-hmm. but... Yeah, I don't know. It never really grabbed me, but, like, I did want to mention it, at least, that I considered it, and I rewatched it, and I was like, you know what? I never really cared for the visuals in it. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess it's true of me too. I considered it, but I didn't put it on the top five. But it is something that I thought maybe one of you guys might have ended up picking.
I think that's more or less it for things that barely made it but didn't. Like, there's probably a few others, but I can't think of them right now. But what about you, Derek?
I mean, I kind of went through most of them. I think the only other one that I actually, like, wrote on paper, other than, you know, was, and we talked about this on a previous episode, but I mean, to me, like, I did consider the Digimon theme just because I dig it. And the other thing, maybe give a shout out to Boss Monkey Renaud, but I also considered, you know, maybe because, you know, Harlock is 70s and is something. I think, you know, for me, my love for Cutie Honey won out, but that was something else. You know, the Captain Harlock opening was something I had considered possibly. And it's funny now that I've been immersing myself in Macross 7 and seeing some of your guys' honorable mentions, it's like I could see myself maybe trying to put, you know, some of that music in an honorable mention as well. But I mean, you know, but for the most part, I'm pretty satisfied with what you know, the my selections that I made and the, you know, just some insight, you know, basically the only two that didn't quite make the list were Big O. I got as far as copying the YouTube link for Big O and copying the YouTube link for Captain Harlock. So
I just thought another one I almost put was the Japanese opening to the Guyver, which most people know, like, the dub or the English manga opening of the Guyver, where they, you know, they just had the, you know, sort of ominous music and some dude, like, saying, Guy-va, like, in the background. But, like, the Japanese opening's actually, like, really cool, like and gets you, like, kind of hyped for the show, so. But it ended up on the chopping block.
Well, if there's nothing else, I guess that wraps up this episode of Big in Japan. And Derek, if you would be so kind as to do your usual spiel.
So if you have any comments, questions, and or concerns, you can email us at fanholespodcast@gmail.com. We're on all kinds of social media. We're on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We appreciate all the likes, hearts, shares, and retweets that we receive. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. We can be streamed on Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and Spotify. I'm trying to work on getting some more stuff, so who knows? Maybe by the time you hear this, you'll be able to find us on, like, Amazon Music and some of these other things, but we'll see how that goes.
And this is Justin signing off.
This is Derek WC signing off.
It's Michael. Turn A, Michael.
It's like,
Turn Michael, the real folk blues, honto no kanashimi ga shiritai dake, doro no kawari tsukatta jinsei mo waru.
It's weird because, like, the Cowboy Bebop intro really does give me, like, bad memories, like, somehow, like, even though I love the show.
That's how I felt about Eureka 7. I just felt annoyed saying that again.
Yep.
Now I've got Cats on Mars in my head.
There's a track from Trigun that's kind of like that makes me laugh every time I hear it. Like,
I used to have that soundtrack.
It's so, like, goofy and stuff that it just makes me, every time I hear it, it makes me want to smile.
There's also a lot of harmonica stuff in a Trigun soundtrack that I like, which normally is not my kind of thing, but I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I remember when this happened in the series. Like, I know this exact point. It's so cool.
There's an intro that I never really liked either. Like, Trigun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reviewed it when I was making my list, and I was like, oh, that's, I love the series, but that's not that great of an intro.
Yeah. Like, I remember they released that movie, like, Badlands Rumble, like, a little while back, and I bought it, and I was like, I liked Trigun, right? And I watched it, and I was like, yeah, it was okay. I mean,
I've never seen that movie.
It's okay.
Trigun. I mean, it's from the manga. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's not like there was nothing epic about it. It's just another day in the life of,
yeah. You know? I hate when they kind of do that. Like, they did that with Full Metal Alchemist, too. They just released some generic adventure that had no consequences or whatever, basically. Like, and I know, like, you know, like, Dragon Ball does that all the time, but, like, they're not in continuity with Dragon Ball. Like, in...
If it was from the manga, what wasn't it part of the series, or do you know?
I don't know enough about it, but I know that the Trigun manga has a lot more story to it than I mean, the anime is only like what, like 26 episodes?
Yeah.
But like the manga, it was like a bunch of volumes, and it was like Trigun and Trigun Maximum and like all kinds of stuff. I've never sat down and like read it all and did a stare and compare and can tell you like, dude, this is when Akira farted and this is when Akira didn't. Like, I can't do that, but I know there's sizable differences, and I know that the Badlands Rumble movie, like, I know that that's an adventure that took place during that manga run that, for whatever reason, wasn't actually realized on that 26 episode series. Whether budget or whatever, I don't know.
Nani?
Oh, wait, now I gotta share my screen with you guys again because I just found something fucking hilarious. Alright.
Okay.
So, look at this. It's only $8.99, guys. King of Breasts. I agree. I'm fucking 18. I should be so fucking lucky if I was fucking 18. $8.99. Jesus Christ.
They're definitely big.
That's kind of ridiculous, man. About King of Breasts. In King of Breasts, Nyola likes breasts. In fact, he's so obsessed with them that he can recognize any breast just from a picture. But while that's an impressive ability, who would expect some mysterious patrons to set up a game where Nyola has to locate 5 championship breasts from among all the girls in the city? Oh, and to have lots of sex, too.
Okay. What's a championship breast? I don't understand.
if you don't know, you'll never learn, Justin.
Well, it has been a while, so.
Shit. It's been a while for everybody, presumably.
You're not alone.